So here's my goal this morning. We've been in a series that's called The Good Shepherd, and we've been looking at Psalm 23 and comparing it to John chapter 10, 15, 16. We're going to be in John chapter 16 and a real little bit of 17 this morning. And my goal is to weave together two things. I want to walk through these passages in John, and I want to give you a recap of some of the things that we talked about in the weekend. So the students who have been here, the Heisers, you guys might have heard some of this a little bit. Wes, you heard a little bit of it as well. But I want to show you how these things are connected. It's one of those beautiful things that happens where you see that God has orchestrated something in the background that you didn't know was happening until you look back. And when I was reading through John 16, the passages that Alan asked me to speak on, I couldn't help but see the connections and all the things that we were preparing to talk about at the weekend. So we're going to go to Psalm chapter 23, and we're going to look at this moment. But before we do, I want to ask you a question. We talk about the shepherd, and we talk about how Jesus is the good shepherd. But here's my question for you, church. Why do sheep need a shepherd? I grew up in a small town, but we weren't like a farm town. I've only ever been around sheep in petting zoos. I don't know what sheep or like, right? So I decided to look up and try to figure out why is it so necessary for sheep to have a shepherd. And here's what I found out, that sheep are helpless, sheep are defenseless, and sheep are easily lost. I didn't put this on the screen, but also sheep are tasty, right? Animals like to eat sheep. They're helpless. They can't really take care of themselves. You've got to lead them to water that is still enough to drink. If the river is moving too fast, they can't drink from that water, and they'll, you know, die of dehydration in front of a fast-moving river. They're defenseless. There's nothing you can do. Sheep, they can butt sometimes, but sheep's not going to beat a wolf, right? They're defenseless. And sheep are easily lost. They find themselves in unusual circumstances all the time. In fact, I have a video of a sheep who found itself in an unusual circumstance. Just check this out.
Oh dear, that's funny.
I could have cut that video shorter, but here's what I like about this. I don't know how that sheep got in there. Like, I don't know how it got its front legs through, but not its back legs. But now it's stuck in a tire swing. And on its own, that sheep is done for. There's no way that sheep could get out of that situation. And I let it play a little bit longer because I think there's a good metaphor in there. Because I bet there's been times in our lives where you look around at your life and you say, how did I get here? Right? How did I end up in this place that I'm in? And that sheep kept running, and every time it ran away, he got pulled right back to where he was, right? He got himself in a situation he could not get himself out of, and he was stuck in that place. Sheep on their own, they are helpless, they are defenseless, they are easily lost, and they are tasty, right? And that brings us to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 was written by David. Maybe he wrote this psalm when he was a young man. David, when he was younger, he was a shepherd. He spent time with sheep. He knew how easily lost they were and how helpless they were. Maybe he wrote this when he was a king and he was looking at his kingdom with all of his wealth and all of his power and all of the influence that he had. And he writes to us in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life, and he leads me along the right paths for his name's sake." David knew the conditions of sheep. He knew they were helpless. He knew they were defenseless. He knew they were easily lost. He knew they needed guidance to find places to drink. They needed guidance to find places to eat. David understood how desperately sheep needed a shepherd. But here's my question for you as well. Why did King David need a shepherd? He was chosen by God to be the king. God said of David when he was a young man, "This is a man after my own heart." He had more wealth and power and influence than any of us could possibly imagine. And in the midst of that, King David recognized and he understood that just like sheep need shepherds, so did he. And so the question is, why? Why would the king need a shepherd? Church, the truth is, David knew that just like sheep on our own, we find ourselves in situations and circumstances where we feel stuck. And it's not just David who needed a shepherd, church. I want all of us to know this. We all need a shepherd. David had more wealth, he had more influence than I will ever have. He was a better writer than I'll ever be. He was closer to God, to something I desire to have. And David needed a shepherd, and so do I, and so do all of us. Because here's what David knew, and this is true of us, just like it's true of the sheep. On our own, we are helpless. On our own, we are defenseless. On our own, we are easily lost. And just like sheep, we need someone who is stronger, who is wiser, who is greater, who is kinder than us to lead us in the life that we know we were called to live for. Just like a sheep needs a shepherd, so do all of us. We need a shepherd because on our own, we are helpless. We're going to be in John chapter 16, like I said this morning. We're going to start in verse 12. John 16 is an amazing chapter. I want you to go back and read it on your own. But Jesus begins to talk about the Holy Spirit, the person of God who dwells inside of the heart of every single believer, who guides and directs us. And he talks about the influence of the Holy Spirit on us. He says in John 16, verse 12, "I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now." Jesus has such good news that the heart of his disciples at the time, they couldn't even bear to hear what it is. But here's what this truth is. When the Spirit of truth comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus is letting them know there will be a time when he leaves, but he's not leaving his church or his people abandoned. He's giving them something to guide them. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. Jesus says, you will need someone to guide you. I will not leave you alone. You will not be helpless. I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Church, the way we find guidance when we feel stuck in life, where we keep running and being pulled back to the same place over and over again, is we learn to dwell and to pursue and to trust in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this is what I mean about how I felt like when I was reading this passage is how it connected so well to the weekend. Our goal for the weekend was to elevate prayer, to share prayer with students, to get them fired up for the opportunity, the privilege of what prayer truly is. And we started off by looking in Luke chapter 11. I want to read this verse to you as well. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. We read that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And I think this is a powerful moment, church. The disciples are watching Jesus pray, and they see that something is missing in their prayer life. When he prays, it's different than when I pray, and they have humility enough to ask for help. They say, "Jesus, we need help." And he does. He gives them a model prayer. He tells them this story that is really unique about a friend running to his neighbor's house in the middle of the night, waking up his children and his family and asking for food. And I think the point of that prayer is to tell us that we need to recognize our dependency of God. When we pray, dependency should be part of our prayer life. And then he wraps up this teaching on prayer, and he says this. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, he says, if you then who are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. If your kids ask for presents, you don't give them awful presents. You know how to give good gifts. If you know how to do that, he says, imagine how much more your heavenly Father is willing to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Church, we are helpless like sheep Because we are desperately dependent on the Holy Spirit guiding us in our lives. We cannot figure this thing out on our own. We need that guidance. We need that Spirit of truth to show us the walk, the way that we should go. And understanding that we are helpless gives us the ability to acknowledge our dependency on God. And here's what we told the students, and this is true for us as well, church, that dependency, recognizing, acknowledging our dependency on God, it's what leads to boldness. It's what allows us to pray those bold prayers and to hold on to God when we're not sure what to do next. Like sheep, we are helpless. We need guidance, and that guidance comes from the Holy Spirit. And God says he is willing to give that gift to any single one of us who asks. We need that guidance in our lives. Just like sheep, we all need a shepherd because on our own, we are defenseless. I'm going to go back to John chapter 16. This is verse 33. This is towards the end of this chapter. And Jesus is preparing his disciples. I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you alone. The Holy Spirit will come and guide you, but I'm going to leave you. And he also gives them a warning that is true for all of us and a promise that is true for all of us. He says in verse 33, I have told you these things about my suffering, about me leaving, so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have suffering, but be courageous because I have conquered the world. Church, the truth is, every single one of us experiences suffering. There's no way to avoid it in life. It is a part of every human being's story, every one of our lives. We will all experience suffering. Jesus told us to be prepared for it. But he says, you can have courage in the midst of suffering, even though you feel defenseless, like whatever you're up against is too big or too strong or too heavy. You can have courage in that moment because it's not your strength that defeats the world, it's Jesus's. And he says, have courage because I have overcome the world. Another way, church, we get to experience the power of God to provide for us when we feel defenseless is in our prayer lives. You grow that dependency. You grow that relationship in personal moments of prayer. This was last night at the weekend. This is from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Once again, the disciples have asked Jesus, how do we pray? Like, how do we experience this prayer that you have? And he gives them a warning about prayer that, for me personally, is very convicting. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. Let me tell you why I find this so personally convicting. I get paid to be a speaker. I'm a professional Christian, right? I stand in front of people all the time with a microphone. I'm going to pray at the end of the service. And there have been times in my life, church, where my main prayers happen in front of other people. And Jesus says, when I do that, I'm being a hypocrite. Like, if the only time I pray is when you guys are listening to me, I'm a hypocrite. I'm missing out on something that happens behind the scenes that is more powerful than this public moment. In church, the same thing is true of all of us. If we only pray when we're in Sunday school, if we only pray when we're in these pews, if we only pray when a person with a microphone tells you to bow your head and close your eyes, I promise you, you're missing out on something. And what you're missing out on is that power that gives us the courage to stand against the suffering and the world that we all experience. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 6. Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your private room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We will all experience suffering, and we all need strength and courage. On our own, we are defenseless. And Jesus says, if you will seek me in private, you will see God in public. The more you seek the Father privately, on your own, pursue that relationship one-on-one with him, the more you'll experience the courage to stand up against the suffering and the troubles that we see in this world. Just like sheep on our own, we are helpless. We need guidance, and that comes from the person of the Holy Spirit. Just like sheep on our own, we are defenseless, and we experience the courage that God provides when we seek Him in private. And just like sheep, we are easily lost. I'm going to jump over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is an amazing chapter of our scripture. It's a prayer that you can read through. It's broken up essentially into three parts. Jesus prays for His ministry. He prays for the disciples. And then later on, we'll read these verses. Jesus prays for all of us. He prays for you. He thinks about us in this moment. But He begins to talk about what His ministry was there to accomplish. John 17, starting verse 1, it says, Jesus spoke these things, and He looked up to heaven, and He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, so that Your Son may glorify You, since You gave Him authority over all people, so that He may give eternal life to everyone You've given Him. Jesus is the only one who has the right, who has the ability to give that gift of eternal life. And He goes on to say in verse 3, and this is what eternal life is, that they may know You, the only true God, and the one that You have sent, Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the one who has the right. I'm the one who can give them this gift, this eternal life. And here's what eternal life is. It's to know God and be known by Him. Not just to know about Him, but to truly know Him. To seek Him in those private prayer moments, to pursue Him in the suffering, and to truly know Him. On our own, we get lost. On our own, we find ourselves further and further from the King of Kings, the source of life and purpose in our life. Isaiah says it this way. It's Isaiah 53, verse 6. We've all gone astray like sheep, and we've all turned our own way. And the Lord has punished him for the iniquities of us all. On our own, we wander. We are lost. We sin and separate ourselves from God. But Jesus took our sins on Himself so that we can know the Father and be known by Him. We are easily lost, but our Jesus is a Jesus who was willing to save. In John chapter 17, verse 20 is my last verse for this morning. This is a moment where Jesus prays, and I just want you to see this. That before He was betrayed, before He was arrested, before the cross and everything that happened leading up to the cross, there was a moment where Jesus prayed for all of us. He prayed for you. In verse 20, chapter 17, Jesus says, I pray not only for these, not only for the disciples who are following Him, who are with Him in the garden, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. This was always the goal. Jesus was always supposed to be the shepherd. And church, we desperately need a shepherd because on our own, we are helpless. We need the power of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. On our own, we are defenseless. We need the courage and the strength that comes from those private moments where you encounter God. And on our own, we are easily lost. We need the shepherd who is willing to sacrifice His life for us. So church, here's what I want us to do. This week, an hour from now, next week, for the next couple days, I want us to intentionally seek the good shepherd. I want all of us to practice this. Intentionally pursuing, seeking the good shepherd. And we do that in a few ways. He's the good shepherd who provides guidance when we're helpless. He's the good shepherd who provides power when we're defenseless. He's the good shepherd who saves when we are lost. And we want to pursue Him, seek Him. And so here's just some really simple ways we can do that, church. You can seek the good shepherd in prayer. I mean, praying with your Sunday school classes are amazing. Praying in churches and groups are fine, but it cannot be the only way we encounter God through prayer. It's got to be something that happens one-on-one between us and the Father. Church, you can seek the King, you can seek the Good Shepherd right now in this closing moments as we sing our last songs. You can seek the Shepherd through prayer. Church, let's be a church who prays. Let that be part of who we are. We seek the Shepherd through obedience. On Easter, early in the morning, we have a sunrise baptism service. That's an incredible moment. It's early. For some reason, it's always cold. I don't know why, but it's an amazing moment in obedience, or baptism is such a step of obedience. It's saying, Jesus, whatever you've asked me to do, I'm willing to do. I don't know what that next step of obedience looks like for you. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe at the end of service, you need to come and we'll sign you up for that sunrise baptism service. Whatever that next step of obedience is, take it. He gives you guidance, and we need to follow that guidance. And then ultimately, church, none of the things that we talk about on Sunday mornings, none of the songs that we sing, none of the messages that are given, nothing that happened with the students over the weekend, none of that matters if we haven't experienced the salvation that Jesus offers. If we haven't made that exchange where we say, take away my sins and give me your righteousness. Without that, there is no shepherd to seek. You're lost. You're on your own. You're hopeless and helpless and defenseless. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never truly surrendered and experienced that salvation. Maybe for you, the way you seek the shepherd is to finally say yes, to confess, ask for forgiveness, be brought into the family of God, and then pursue that shepherd with all that you got. I'm going to pray for us in this moment, but I pray all of us, we seek the shepherd through prayer and through obedience and through holding on to the good news that Jesus saves. Church, pray with me. Father God, I'm so grateful for all that you've done. Father, for all the work that went into the weekend. Father, for all the donations, for all of the prayers. God, I pray that ultimately the students who hopefully are waking up on time for church this morning, God, I pray that they knew the weekend was about you. Yeah, God, we played games, but it wasn't about games. We had fun, but it wasn't about fun. Father, it was about pursuing you. Jesus, thank you so much, not only for being a king and being a savior, but for being a shepherd. Because Father, just like King David realized, all of us, we need that shepherd. God, on our own, we're helpless. We don't know what to do or where to go. On our own, we're defenseless. We don't know how to stand against the world. On our own, we're easily lost. Jesus, thank you for giving us guidance through the power of your Spirit. Thank you for giving us courage to the victory that you've already won. God, thank you for giving us a home to the salvation you bought with your own blood. Jesus, we pray that all of us would seek you, chase after you. And God, I know that none of what we talk about, none of what we do, none of this would be possible if it wasn't for you, Jesus. So it's in your name, in your power that we pray. Amen.